Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
We have received lots and lots and lots of emails from you, our listeners, over the last weeks and months. We have not had a chance to really get into many of them. We're going to do as many as we can right now, as quickly as we can, because there are so many good ones, and there's never enough time. First one comes out of Mexico, and it was asking, or saying rather, could we, Gabe and I, look into this science paper on previous infection, reducing booster effects against Omicron? We're talking about COVID-19 here.
Who is this from?
This was from Roser, Roser in Mexico. And this is something that I was happy to get the email. It was a topic that I had wanted to talk about. It's really important. A very complicated study, impossible to read through, but the chief takeaway was that unlike what we've all been thinking, oh, you get infected a couple times, and that means, you know, and boosted and vaccinated, and now I'm super immune for whatever's coming. Not true. So according to this study, if you were infected by the Wuhan-type virus, the original coronavirus...
Way back at the beginning,
and then you got vaccinated, went through all the vaccinations,
yeah,
you had a lower T-cell response. That's one of your immune cells. At the Berlin Charité Hospital, they've compared the T cell to the conductor of the immune orchestra.
Yeah.
You had a lower response to Omicron than if you had never been infected before. This goes against everything we've all thought. So if you've been infected before, it's not good. It could weaken your immune response to future variants.
So it's more likely for you to get reinfected than it would be if you had never been infected at all and not vaccinated?
It's more likely, what you can say in a very limited way, is that your T-cell response is going to be weaker. Your body's ability to fight the infection once it's there is reduced. Other thing I'll add on to this, because this study kind of connects to it, was another recent COVID-19 study showing that every reinfection causes more severe disease, not less. So if, you know, these symptoms, hospitalization, cardiovascular issues, diabetes, fatigue, if you had that before during an infection, and then you get a second infection or a third infection, you're going to have that again probably, but worse. It keeps getting worse.
This is terrible news, Connor, both of these.
Don't get infected. Avoid infections if you can. And I guess to end it on a positive note, today, at the time of recording, South Africa has dropped its mask requirement, and requirements plural, in a lot of places, because that fifth wave is finally done. They've made it through BA5. And you're probably sitting in a country where that wave is still building or cresting. Put the mask on right now, and maybe in a couple months you won't need to, and a lot of the risk will be gone. That's the good news. So what did they say here in Germany? Putting the mask on is a little effort, but a big effect.
Goes a long way.
Yep.
Speaking of pandemics, this is not an email that we got from anyone. Just a really quick reminder that there is a second one looming, at least according to the World Health Network. That's a gigantic team of scientists in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. Those are the three places where this is headquartered. They're calling it a pandemic. And that makes sense, right? It's in 58 countries now, the monkeypox virus. 3,500 cases have been confirmed now. It's spreading all over the world, apparently unabated. And right now, as we speak, literally in Geneva, the World Health Organization, they have a team of experts meeting to decide whether they're going to declare it a health emergency on the level of COVID-19. I mean, the last diseases to be called, quote, public health emergency of international concern. They don't call things pandemics. The WHO, that's what they say.
Or the WHO or the WHN?
The WHO is meeting right now. They do not call things pandemics. They call them public health emergencies of international concern. We're talking Zika, Ebola, and COVID-19. So monkeypox, if it is decided, if it's of international concern, then that's what we're dealing with, essentially a second pandemic.
Right. But in this case, with an effective vaccine already out there, already available to us, that's the advantage.
The important
here.
Part. So it's spreading, but there's something we can do about it.
Yeah.
At this point. I've got an email as well, Connor. Hold on. The one that I want to read, one in our backlog, is from Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
In reaction to our show on what makes a person so boring.
Oh, yeah. Way back when.
Here's what she writes. Attempting to define a boring person, activity, or profession, I find, is an exercise in futility, in impossibility, a nonsensical enterprise. Nothing is intrinsically boring. We find ourselves bored or not. Not because of anything external which we like to blame for our boredom and label boring, but rather because of our own response to the person or activity so labeled. One person's boredom is another person's excitement. And then Sandra goes on to say, I don't always find myself awake at 4:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, but when I do, I always tune into you guys. Usually I find your program entertaining and informative, and sometimes I am bored. Uh-oh. But here's the the important part. I am bored, not you are boring.
Oh, right? Sandra, that was generous. That was really generous. That was
and
nice
a really,
of you.
Really smart email.
Yeah. Another smart one from Laura. And this is in connection. We did a piece, or we talked about some research on tire particle pollution and how ignored that problem has been and the extent of it. Massive problem. One of the largest generators of microplastic pollution in the oceans around the world, and also carcinogenic. And what I was completely unaware of until I got this email from Laura was that British students, as a result of the lockdowns, they didn't have anything to do. And they invented a pretty darn good solution for this. It is a kind of looks like a if you've seen those locks, those wheel locks that they put on cars that have parked illegally. Mm. Looks like a smaller, cleaner, better version of one of those.
Around the tire.
Around the back of a tire, like kind of close to the ground back there. Yep. And the students say their prototype can collect 60% of all airborne particles from tires under a controlled environment on their test rig. That's a lot.
So sucks up all the dust as it's driving.
Yeah. And at first I was thinking it's got to be missing a lot of it. A lot of those particles will have to fly out, at least more than 40%. No, what they said is that the device, first of all, it wraps closely around the tire, and then it uses electrostatics and aerodynamics of it. It uses electrostatics and the aerodynamics of a spinning wheel to collect particles as they are emitted. Great solution already.
That is a really
is
good,
there?
That should be on every vehicle?
Possibly.
Produced?
Possibly. Yeah, it's already a huge step in the right direction. That's phenomenal news. So thank you for informing me of that, Laura.
One last one here from Cassandra. She's talking here about cold feet and Germans. This myth here in Germany that when it's cold, or that you get an infection from being cold, she writes. You mentioned that some Germans think that one can get sick by being in the cold outside. Along those lines, some locals have told me, you know, because I'm an expat here in Germany, to not walk around barefoot when it's cold, otherwise I might catch a cold. Yes, I agree with you. The studies have shown being indoors with poor ventilation is the main factor for getting sick, but surely there must be some studies already done showing that cold temperatures weaken our immune system. What does that even mean? She asks. And how does the immune system weaken or get strengthened? The reason why I'm reading out Cassandra's emails that she's written to us multiple times, mm-hmm. and every time she asks really cool questions, like one of her emails had...
Oh, cool, cold, cool.
You know, five different questions in it. And I just wanted to say thank you to Cassandra for writing to us and asking all these questions. We read them. And
wait, do you have an answer, though?
Well, I think that was what I thought, right? That when it's cold, our immune system is a little weak. That it has an effect on our immune system somehow? Possibly?
There would be some logic in the idea of, I don't know, extreme cold, hypothermia, where your body begins transferring blood away from the extremities and toward the core, that when you're entering a physical state like that, that would have a negative effect on the...
Make it harder to fight off a pathogen?
It would...
Possibly?
It would lead me to believe that... parts of your body would have less energy for self-defense,
distracted.
For example. But I cannot imagine, we had an episode on this before where we talked about walking outside barefoot. This used to be an old German tradition where you would quote-unquote harden yourself by doing so. I can't imagine a quick activity like that having any significant impact on your immune system when compared to the much higher risks of staying indoors and closing the windows.
My wife... a German still literally thinks that you get sick from the cold air. That somehow that produces a viral or bacterial infection you.
I'm sighing.
How many times?
I've had this conversation too many times.
How many times can I tell her and my children that is not true? That is a myth. Stop saying it.
It's still worth repeating here one last time because the more people are aware of this, the better. It's all about having closed windows. It's all about having closed windows and recirculated air in a confined space, which tends to happen in the winter months and not as much in the summer months. That is fundamentally the difference. That's the most important thing. So keep that in mind when you're trying not to get sick. And if you take a walk outside barefoot, which I do sometimes in the dead of winter.
It's great. Good idea.
Feels good.
Just stay warm. Don't get hypothermia.
Don't get hypothermia. Never get hypothermia. Right.
Cassandra, thank you. And everyone else who wrote in. And keep them coming. SU@DW.com.
Science Unscripted.